Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Yeah, more like yikes. Oh boy. That will leave a dent in your run differential. Boy, oh boy. Good evening. Royals lose and lose big. 15-4, the final score. The series is now evened up at a game apiece. If you want to talk about that game, be my guest. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. Text line is there as well if you just can't muscle up the energy to lob me a phone call. Shoot me a text. 913-586-7610. As far as the game, quickly, I mean, it wasn't Michael Wacha's day, now was it? No doubt about it, he wasn't good. His shortest start since September of 2022. No doubt he wasn't good tonight. But the Texas bats were very good. This wasn't solely a Michael Wacha stunk. He was below average, and that Rangers offense was fantastic. A great approach early on. Now, we can go through it. If you want more dissection into Michael Wacha's night, I'm more than happy to go through that run in the first inning, those three runs in the third, and three more in the fourth. I'm more than happy to go through with it, to go through the blow-by-blow with you. But if I can, get to another conversation that I would like to start tonight. As this was the biggest crowd we've seen at Kauffman Stadium since opening day, what I want to know from you is this. Did it ruin the night? Did you still enjoy your experience at Kauffman Stadium? Did something happen tonight, whether it's watching Bobby steal his 11th base, score yet another run, his 29th run scored of the season. Maybe it's cheering for Salvi, rooting on a team that is still 20-14. No longer the proud possessors of the best run differential in the sport. No longer the team in second place in the American League Central, but still an outstanding 34-game start to this 2024 season. It's the fifth best 34-game starts in Royals franchise history. Yeah, more than 26,000 turned out tonight. Some, it sounded, were certainly Rangers fans, but a majority, Royals fans. Are you coming back? Was this their one opportunity? Was this the one weekend where we're going to see a big crowd, and then if they don't deliver, no more? No, last night was electric. Last night had real Chiefs game vibes. Had real 2015, 16, 17 Kauffman Stadium vibes. Tonight's had that type of turnout. The team just didn't do enough to electrify the crowd. I understand that. No, you guys were outstanding. You showed up in droves. And you've been putting your money where your mouth is. Give me a winner, and I'll spend my money. Well, the Royals have given you a winner, and you guys have certainly held up your end of the bargain. But as you come out, unlike anything that we've seen at Kauffman Stadium since Game 1, you know what else I want to know is, when did you buy these tickets? What is this crowd that I'm seeing tonight, is that reflective of a hot April? Like, if you were one of the 26,000 in attendance tonight, you're not going to have to wait on hold. You get right to the front of the line. When did you buy the tickets? And when did you buy the tickets? And did the 11-run drubbing ruin the night? 913-586-7610 is our phone number. 913-586-7610. We can talk MJ Melendez and Nelson Velasquez. We got to give some praise to Michael Massey. We'll do all of that coming up, but I want to hear from you first. 913-586-7610. Jake, you were at the game tonight. You're hitting leadoff on the post-game show. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Vern. Hey, calling in again. I called in last night as well. You know, obviously two different kinds of games, but we didn't have that in a long season. I did, you know, there was a lot of baseball talking going on in the section. A lot of people, I think, were there for the first time tonight, and people were excited. You know, I still had a great time at the game. I'm going back again tomorrow if we can get the series. But, you know, it's just one of those things. It's going to happen in a season like this. I can't believe how many left-handers they had, though. That was unbelievable how many they could roll out there and hit against us.
No, they got some killers in that lineup, no doubt about it. Thank you very much for the phone call, Jake. That's kind of what I'm talking about. We could look at those lefty at-bats, whether it's Corey Seager in the first inning, you know, that Nathaniel Lowe at-bats in the third inning. Nathaniel Lowe again in the fourth inning. Marcus Semien with great approaches at the dish. I'm just talking about Michael Walker. I'm not even diving into what they did to Matt Sauer or Colin Selby, who combined to give up 7 earned runs, 8 total runs in the final 3 innings of tonight's game. Yeah, it was actually a game, believe it or not. If you missed the contest, if you're listening to this on the podcast, God bless you. Really appreciate that. Like, subscribe, review the All Things Vern podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. No, when Michael Walker left the game, when that fourth inning, the top of the fourth inning ended, the Royals found themselves down 7-0. And yet, in the bottom of the sixth inning, they're down by 4 with the tying run in the on-deck circle. So it was a game. Now, I'm not saying that Michael Walker kept you in this game or gave you a chance to win. No, in my opinion, this was the third time this season your starting pitcher has not given you a chance to win. Third time, game number 34. I thought it would be 4 out of every 5 games the Royals starters giving you a chance to win. So far, it's been 10 out of every 11 games the Royal starters giving you a chance to win, so I ain't complaining about that. But credit to the Royals' offense. Credit to the Royals' defense for, you know, staying locked in. I thought Bobby had a nice, Bobby had a pair of beautiful defensive plays. Salvi with a classic Salvi pounce in the fifth inning on a little dribbler in front of the plate. Now, if you just roll out of bed tomorrow morning and see that the Royals lost 15-4, yeah, it's somewhat deceiving. But at the same time, it does tell a story of a game that always felt out of reach. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. You can take this wherever you want it to go. If you want to dive into a disappointing at-bat, a reliever that you're good seeing no longer, now we could discuss it. We could talk some ball. Daniel Lynch making his season debut tomorrow in the finale. There's a lot to discuss. I hope you feel like joining. Phone lines are open. Text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 11-run loss are presented by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when called Jay's Southland Tow. Quick timeout. We'll get to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Right-handed batter swings and lines it over the leaping third baseman Smith. Down the line it goes. In to score comes Massey. And in around third to score is Velasquez. Two-run score on a hard-hit liner down the left field line. Off the bat of Hunter Renfroe, he drives in his 12th and 13th runs of the year. The Royals finally get on the board now. They're down 7-2.
That came off his bat at 104 miles per hour. Hunter Renfroe puts the boys on the board. 7-2 after that two-out RBI single. In the sixth inning, Vinny would drive in Bobby Witt Jr. After Bobby draws a leadoff walk and steals second base, Vinny drives him in, and it's 7-3 Kansas City with two on and one out. Nelson Velasquez works a full count and flies out to right field. And then Garrett Hampson comes in off the bench to face the lefty out of the bullpen. And he goes down swinging through a changeup. That was as good as an opportunity as the Royals had. 7-3 at the end of six, and just moments later, three Texas runs would come across to score against Colin Selby. Garrett Hampson with an infield single. He drives in the Royals' fourth run in the bottom of the eighth inning, but by then it was way too late, and then it became a laugher. Five runs come in against Matt Sauer in the top of the ninth, and that's how we arrive at our final score, 15-4. Royals with a record of 20-14, a run differential that now ranks third best in Major League Baseball. So, yeah, the Dodgers and Braves now have a better run differential. Well, the Braves aren't going to have one for much longer. They're down by six. So the Dodgers have a better run differential than the Royals. Now, they're the only team in baseball with a better run differential than the Royals. But, yeah, you're no longer the best, so I guess the season's over. Just joking. 15-4, your final score. Let's go to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Dan, leaving Kauffman Stadium. Dan, what do you got for us after that one?
Hey, Vern, first-time caller, long-time listener. You know,
thanks,
I wanted to just comment on what you said about did the pummeling, you know, make it less enjoyable. And I would just like to say no. I took my 12-year-old son. It's his first year doing a fantasy baseball team. He's really into it. And, you know, we had a blast. And, yeah, it sucked to lose like that. But, you know, it's a lot of fun out at the ballpark. And fans were noisy. And it was just a great time.
Does he have any Royals on his fantasy team?
He does. He has Bobby and Salvi.
Okay. Well, he's got two M's, yeah. So he's doing pretty well, I would imagine.
Yeah, he is. He's doing pretty good. So.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I'm glad you had a good time. Tell the kid I said
great.
Hi, and
I
hope to see you soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. If you're getting that kind of production in fantasy baseball from the catching position and the shortstop position, yeah, I got to imagine the kid's doing real well. Let's go to Shay, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium as the boys fall by 11 runs, Shay. What do you think?
Yeah, good night at the ballpark. Went with the father-in-law, and my two boys were up from Oklahoma City. They had a great time. I would say the fans were still engaged all the way through. Kind of got a drumming there at the end, getting shelled out of the pen, and Waka looking like poo, but What I'm interested in is like how tough are these guys going to hang, being as competitive as the AL Central is, minus the Sox, and we're going to see. It's going to be interesting what JJ wants to do when it comes July. How are these guys going to hang around, and are we going to be buyers and make a run for this thing? It's going to be fun to watch, and I just hope they hang tough and keep grinding.
Yeah, well said, Shay. I appreciate the phone call. Listen, there's nothing that I've seen from this organization since the end of 2023 that would lead me to believe they're going to sit idly by, going to sit on their hands. And although the way they attacked free agency, the way that they attacked the contract extension talks with Bobby, the way that they made it, in my opinion, a true meritocracy in spring training. Just because you're the veteran doesn't mean you're going to automatically grab an opening day spot or a starting spot on this team. It's been a very aggressive, and then shoot, even if you were a veteran that earned a spot on the opening day roster, your role isn't secure if you don't maintain said role, if you don't continue to earn said role. So to me, the aggression from this organization has been top to bottom since the beginning of December. I can't imagine that will subside as we approach July, the trade deadline, and when things really start to get hot in the American League Central. Shay, appreciate the phone call. There's a phone line open for you. 913-586-7610. That's also the text line. I see Elliot from Des Moines writing in, saying that he came down from the game, and once it became 7-3, Vern, I still had hope. Last year, I would have had zero hope down four runs, and that means something to me. Signed, Elliot in Des Moines. Yeah, I would imagine it makes that drive a lot easier. I'm thinking about my drive to the ballpark, a 30-minute stroll compared to a drive from Des Moines. Yeah, knowing that you have Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo and Brady Singer and Alec Marsh and Michael Waka, and tomorrow it's going to be Daniel Lynch. Right, Daniel Lynch, this is now a guy that we're reaching down to AAA to call up. No longer a guy that, hey, you're our number three, and we desperately need you to perform at a very high level this year or else we have no chance. mean, that was the messaging to Daniel Lynch in the past. This year, it's, hey, man, just give us a chance to win. Give us four strong innings. Keep us in the game for four strong innings. And that's what I'm going to ask of Daniel Lynch tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm with you, Elliot. If I was living in Des Moines, knowing that the pitching staff's going to give you a chance to win 70, 80% of your games, knowing that if you flip the game on, radio, television, show up at the ballpark in the fifth, sixth, or seventh innings, pretty good chance it's a game. Pretty good chance the Royals are either running away with it or it's a 1-2-run deficit and it's a nip-and-tuck kind of contest. Appreciate you listening. Drive safe. Let's go back to the phones. 913-586-7610. Robert was one of the 26,000 in attendance tonight. Robert, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, it was a great game. Me and my son were out there for the first time this year. And to hit on your earlier question, we just bought those tickets last night because of what we saw in April. And this ball team's doing great. And we can't let tonight sour us. No pun intended.
Nice.
But that last inning was a little rough.
Yes, it was. Yeah, well, Robert, I mean, you are to me that's Kansas City. I appreciate the phone call. You and the kid coming out, being men and women of your word. You know, I've heard so much over the years that I've seen firsthand, whether it's, you know, the run for the Chiefs, for Sporting, for the Royals, for the Current. You guys support winners, no doubt about it, but it's been a while since we've seen a winner here at Kauffman Stadium. A lot of you, I would imagine yourself included, Robert, in your lifetime, you've seen a lot more losing than winning. You've fallen for a lot more pump fakes from this team than the team across the parking lot or really any other squad, unless you're a Missouri fan. But I would imagine maybe even Mizzou fans have fallen for a pump fake from the Royals more than they've fallen for it from the Tigers. I don't know. But yeah, I wanted to know when you bought the ticket for tonight's game. Second largest crowd of the season, second only to opening day. And we know opening day tickets, you know, you're buying those on Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day. You're buying them all year long. But this tonight, last night's game, to me, that's a reflection of Kansas City's sports fan with its arms crossed over the course of the month of April going, all right, that's not bad. Keep doing it. Prove it. Prove it more. Show me. Do it. And they did it. They did it for a full month. They put together the best month of April, arguably, in franchise history. And now you're showing up. 25,000 last night, 26,000 tonight. Keep in mind, this was one of the three franchises in the sport that was averaging fewer than 15,000 a game. So listen, if you're a Rangers fan and you're like, what are these bozos on the radio freaking out about having 25, 26,000 in the building? That's a pretty big deal around here. So I have two questions. When did you buy the tickets? Is this in response to that outstanding month of April? And did this beat down at the hands of Bochy and the Rangers, did this beat down ruin the night? So far, the answers have been a resounding no. 913-586-7610, which to me further proves my point that it's not a fun team. Winning baseball, period, is fun. This is a talented team. That's what's bringing you out. Baseball's always fun. Coming to a baseball game's always a good time. But it becomes a fun watch when the team has talent. And that's what we have before us here in 2024. Let's go to Roger, who was at the game tonight. Roger, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Thank you, Vern. You do a great job. You know, the score didn't ruin it. It took to the seventh inning. We were in that game, bottom of the sixth, and it was exciting, and there was a lot of optimism. And, you know, the most important numbers of all these numbers is 20 and 14. That means something, you know. That really does mean something. We use company tickets, so I didn't buy them, but the best part for me was meeting the families. The kids, People in front of us were fun. People next to them were fun. People next to us. And we heard their whole life story because baseball works for your children to and just hang out. And the game, of course, was fascinating. Perez's play was amazing. That was really good. The Royals are worth it, people. It's really, really good time.
Well, that's good to hear, Roger. Thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, that play that Salvi made in the top of the fifth inning, that to me is one of the four or five snapshot plays of my decade plus in Kansas City that I'll be able to close my eyes for the rest of my life and see Alex Gordon crashing into the wall in left field. I'll always be able to close my eyes and watch Alex Gordon throw a seed to home plate. So Gordo's got two of those five plays. Bobby's slide in the hole, dive in the hole, come to his feet and throw a bullet to first. That is starting to make its way into the pantheon of great defensive plays in Royals history that we all take for granted. We took Alex Gordon for granted. Eric Hosmer, the scoop at first base, took that for granted. That play from Salvi when he pounces on a swing and bunt in front of the dish and with that right hand kind of pivots his body while he digs that baseball into the grass and then throws a strike off balance with his, whirling momentum carrying him towards third base. He throws a strike to Vinny, who did a nice job of keeping his foot on the bag. But yeah, solid defense again. Salvi, Bobby, Michael Massey, Hunter Renfro. Sadly, though, the Royals lose and lose big, 15-4, the final score. 913-586-7610. Chris was at the game, and he's kind enough to dial us up. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Vern, second-time caller. I called you in 2023, man, and I was having a woe-is-me moment that time, and you were like, you know what? The Royals are going to get better, and you were right, man. And you know, the reason that I'm at this game tonight is Vern had some extra tickets, and I was happy to go watch last night's game, watch them just open it up in the seventh. And, you know, tonight, the caller previously said something about, when it was down 7-3, I wasn't worried, and I wasn't worried either. You know, our bats seemed to get hot in the sixth and seventh inning, and I really thought something was going to happen, and I started to see the spark. It just, you know, our relievers just it was painful to watch those last couple of innings. But you know what, man? I mean, as a Royals fan, I'm just thankful that, you know, we're doing good right now, and you know what? People need to keep coming to the ballpark and enjoy themselves. And I mean, it's the Royals, man. They do put a good product out there.
Appreciate the phone call, Chris. Nice to hear from you. Yeah, when I told you in 2023 that things were going to get better, and I said that because they couldn't get much worse than how they were in 2023, but I'm glad I looked smart a few months later. Let's go to Jeff out of Blue Springs. Jeff, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. As the Royals drop Game 2 to the Rangers, setting up a rubber match tomorrow, Daniel Lynch and John Gray, 1:10 first pitch. What's going on, Jeff?
How you doing, Vern?
Doing great, buddy.
Tonight's a throwaway game, and I have two things to say, and they're not about this. This is a throwaway game, and they're playing good ball. That's what's bringing people out to the ballpark. They're having fun. But the two things I wanted to cover was Contreras. I watched Ned do it with Guthrie. Didn't pull him until he had allowed eight runs. And tonight, Contreras did it.
I don't know who Contreras is.
He didn't even have him up until he had the bases loaded.
I don't know who Contreras is, Jeff. Who are you talking, Wilson Contreras?
No, I'm sorry. You know who I'm talking about, the manager.
Oh, Quatrero. Matt
Quatrero.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry. So now what are we talking about here? We're talking about the manager in what spot?
Well, I think baseball is a game of momentum, and I watched Ned do it with Guthrie. He allowed eight runs.
Okay.
He should have never allowed him to allow six runs.
Who?
He should
he didn't even get up, him up until the bases were loaded. He didn't get up a reliever.
There was the fourth inning. What are you talking about? Why you want a baby Michael Walker? He's a vet. Find a way to get through the fourth inning.
Well, I understand that, but once he's got the bases loaded, that's you're not getting anybody up till then. He's already given up four runs through three innings.
Yeah, well,
some games you gotta go to the relievers.
Okay, I got you, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call. You know, you take a step back, you look bigger picture, you see the team doesn't have an off day until 3, 6, 10, 11 days from now. Okay, you want to pull Michael Walker earlier than they did? Again, Michael Walker recorded 11 outs. Okay, so you want to pull him, let's say, two batters earlier? Okay. I don't know why. You don't need to protect Michael Walker. He's fine. This is not going to mess with his psyche, just like Ned Yost with Jeremy Guthrie. It wasn't going to mess with Jeremy Guthrie's psyche. This is a mentally strong veteran that had been through the wars of big league baseball. Trust me, Michael Walker's just fine. Now, he's disappointed. I'm, you know, disappointed letting the team down, unable to lead him to a victory. But when he wakes up tomorrow morning, he's going to be the same guy he's been for the past decade. So I'm not worried about him. Whatsoever. Furthermore, knowing that you have Daniel Lynch making his season debut tomorrow, and hopefully, you know, he can give you four innings. And I say that because Daniel Lynch just pitched on Wednesday. Only pitched four innings. It was a doubleheader for the Storm Chasers. But I'm not expecting Daniel Lynch to come up here and give you five, six, seven innings. I'm hoping he gives you four. So tomorrow you already know you have five innings of the bullpen. No, five innings. Bullpen, you got to eat it up. And you want to pull Walker today after three innings? So now it's 11 frames that we're dumping on the bullpen if things go well? No, I think you got to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Oh, you're paying Michael Walker $15, $16 million to try and grind through that fourth inning. Or no, you don't need to baby him. You don't need to worry about his psyche. If Walker can't give you, I'll put it this way. If Walker, Reagans, Lugo, Singer, if these guys can't give you four innings, you're probably going to lose the game. And if you're probably going to lose the game, make sure you don't lose tomorrow's game as well. I thought Q did everything well. When it comes to Walker, I thought he handled that well. Let's go to Travis, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Travis, I appreciate the phone call, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, Vern. We're heading back home. We're from Nebraska, so it was a three-hour trip down here, three-hour trip back home. We came down here early. Picked up some Joe's KC barbecue. Nice. Took my son there for the first time. He enjoyed his first Z-Man.
Ooh, baby.
Went and drove some golf carts and did some mini golf. Got there early for some batting practice. And got our Bobby Witt Jr. Star Wars bobblehead. It was a good game. The loss by 11 runs. It's all right. It happens. We'll come back tomorrow. We got him yesterday. It's a pretty good game. We'll get him tomorrow. And we'll move on and take the next series, too. Got the Brewers coming into town, and that'll be some fun.
I love your outlook, Travis. You sound like a great dad, too. Way to show everybody a good time, man. drive safely back, and thanks for sharing with us, man. I'm glad you had a good time out there. I mean, that's how you do it right there. Even if you're not driving from Nebraska, that's how you enjoy a day. I did not eat enough today, and a Z-Man sounds good. No, they're not going to give me anything. Hey, real quick, before we get back to the phone calls, if I can give a quick shout-out, I can't imagine this woman is listening, but to the woman, the beautiful woman on the Kiss Cam that was keeping score with her husband, I don't think he was even keeping score. I think it may have been the final couple that they showed on the Kiss Cam. Just keeping score. Just don't see that very often in the stands anymore. Royals lose 15-4. Salvi's on-base streak is no more. It ends at a career-high 22 straight games. Also, Salvi's strikeoutless streak ends. For the first time in 40 trips to the plate, Salvi finally punched out, this time to Dane Dunning to lead off the second inning. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. We'll take one more quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
And the pitch, and Vinny swings, and it's a line drive base hit into left field. Here's Bobby to third, and Vance Wilson will wave him home, and it's a four-run game, 7-3 Texas.
So with Vinny on first and nobody out, Salvador Perez went down swinging. Michael Massey then singled to center. They both would advance on a wild pitch, and the Royals had second and third with one out in a 7-3 game. Nelson Velasquez got ahead in the count 2-1. It ends up filling up, and he flies out to right. And then Garrett Hampson comes in off the bench. He, too, is ahead in the count 2-1. It fills up, and he strikes out swinging, ending the threat. And that's as good as it would get, because Texas would score 3 in the 7th, 5 in the 9th, and turn this one into a laugher. Final score, Rangers 15, Royals 4. The great Ryan Lefevre on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Vinny Pasquantino driving in the third Royals run. Bobby Witt Jr. scoring the third Royals run, and now through 34 games, Bobby Witt Jr.'s ranks in Major League Baseball fifth in stolen bases, second in Major League Baseball in runs scored. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Daniel Lynch makes the start tomorrow afternoon. 1:10 for the first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's go to Jeff in Overland Park. Jeff, you're next up on the postgame show. How are you?
Doing real good, Vern. We're actually calling here. Just got back from the game. My son Jackson, I took my two boys out there with my son Jackson. Is 8, and it's his birthday. Nice. But we are calling. We've had tickets for a while, but I got to say, it was incredible, and they had a great time, and we really never felt out of the game until after the seventh inning, and they were into it. The crowd was into it. I think we caught a little bit of people trying to do the wave and everything, so we had a really great time. We just wanted to call and say we're having a hell of a good time and enjoying this roller coaster for the Royals, and we hope it keeps going for a while. And Jackson here stayed awake so he could say one thing real quick. Can you say it, Jackson?
Go Royals.
Go Royals.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Jackson. Appreciate
Thank you.
Appreciate you listening, buddy. Man, 8th birthday. Oh, boy. That's right in the wheelhouse of when you really start falling in love with the game of baseball. And to think, as
That's
an 8-year-old,
right.
you have Bobby Witt Jr. on your favorite team? Oh, my gosh. You're a lucky
Absolutely.
Young man, I'll tell you what. Well, I
Thank
appreciate you,
Vern.
You calling. Thank you very much, John. Phone line open up for you, 913-586-7610. I mean, imagine if you're around my age, you know, if you're 30s, 40s, okay, some of you remember, you know, you had George, you know, he was still winning a batting title in my life, but he wasn't, you know, 79, 1980 George Brett. He was still a legend, but, you know, 87, 88, 89, he's good. Yeah, he's winning batting titles, sure, but to be an 8-year-old and have Bobby Witt Jr. commit, you know, for the next at least 7 years to your favorite team, boy, I mean, right, I'm not alone on that. You guys understand what I'm saying. Could you imagine as a Royals fan growing up to where so many of us, it was, you know, well, he's gone. You know, Haas is going to leave. I love Mike Moustakas, but he's leaving. Carlos Beltran is going to leave. Die, Damon, they're gone. Greinke's going to leave. Everybody's. But now Jackson's going to be driving when Bobby has a decision to make of whether or not to stick it out in Kansas City. That's pretty neat. 913-586-7610. Let's run through a few of these text messages real quick. From the 920, Vern, front row Amy in Milwaukee keeps score every game. Yeah. What do you know about front row Amy in Milwaukee? I was there when she started going to games. I was helping out the post-game show in Milwaukee when they first identified front row Amy, and she used to call in. Well, that's an interesting pull, text line. Where are you calling from? Katie in North Carolina writes in, Vern, I'm pulling for the boys to be in the postseason this year, and to do that, they need to get a comeback win from way behind. Sounds like even Matt Quatrero thought they had a chance to do that tonight. Maybe the boys in blue didn't check off the last line in my checklist just yet, but they are definitely maintaining through May with at least one win against the defending World Series champs. Yeah, they'll look to make it two tomorrow, 1:10 for the first pitch. As far as a big comeback, I know they've put together some comeback victories this season. Six, as a matter of fact. I don't off the top of my head know the largest comeback. It certainly wasn't 7-0 like we saw them facing tonight in the fourth inning. I'll try and check that if I can, but I appreciate you listening as always, Katie. Derek in Midtown, he writes in, Vern, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been to all but four games this season. Amazing crowd tonight. Normally four runs will win a lot of games for us. Only downside for me was watching Hunter Renfro in right field with zero hustle. Tough game result, but go Royals nonetheless, signed Derek in Midtown. Yeah, I can understand how it can look like that. I certainly wouldn't go along with that. I wouldn't say that he was lacking hustle. I'll talk tomorrow to some coaches. Maybe I'm wrong in saying that, but it looked to me as if you're, you know, being a maybe overly cautious with how the ball's going to carry him in the corner out there in right field. And Derek, you're right. Four runs is normally enough to win for the boys in blue as they are now on the season 14-5 when they score four or more runs. Appreciate you listening. Ray writes in, Vern, no panic here, but I do have a question. How long do you give position players before you meddle with your lineup? Before you can't ignore what Waters and Nick Lofton are doing down in AAA? What's the balance between minor improvement and lineup consistency? I don't know how to answer the balance. I can say this. You know, the Drew Waters, Nick Lofton, the numbers that they're putting up in AAA. For those unaware, Drew Waters today went 2-for-6. He's now hitting .322 with an OPS of .941. Nick Lofton hitting .314 down there with an OPS of .728. I'll say this. AAA stats are not a great sign of what they're going to do at the big league level. To me, what you've done at the big league level is the best reflection of what you're going to do at the big league level. Drew Waters, I would say that conversation gets real as far as him taking a roster spot of someone. I would say that conversation gets real at the end of May. And as far as the position players, Renfro and Melendez are still, in my opinion, benefiting the team. MJ is one of the three best defensive left fielders in the American League statistically right now, and his arm ranks number one. Hunter Renfro, top five. Arm ranks top three in the American League. So no, they're not doing a lot offensively. MJ 0-for-2 tonight. Hunter Renfro 1-for-4 with a two-run single in the fifth inning to put the boys on the board. Nelson Velasquez 1-for-4.
Mason into left field. Here's Bobby to third, and Vance Wilson will wave him home, and it's a four-run game. 7-3, Texas.
So with Vinny on first and nobody out, Salvador Perez went down swinging. Michael Massey then singled the center. They both would advance on a wild pitch, and the Royals had second and third with one out in a 7-3 game. Nelson Velasquez got ahead in the count 2-1. It ends up filling up, and he flies out to right. And then Garrett Hampson comes in off the bench. He, too, is ahead in the count 2-1. It fills up, and he strikes out swinging, ending the threat. And that's as good as it would get, because Texas would score 3 in the 7th, 5 in the 9th, and turn this one into a laugher. Final score, Rangers 15, Royals 4. The great Ryan Lefevre on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Vinny Pasquantino driving in the third Royals run. Bobby Witt Jr. scoring the third Royals run, and now through 34 games, Bobby Witt Jr.'s ranks in Major League Baseball fifth in stolen bases, second in Major League Baseball in runs scored. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Daniel Lynch makes the start tomorrow afternoon. 1:10 for the first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. Let's go to Jeff in Overland Park. Jeff, you're next up on the postgame show. How are you?
Doing real good, Vern. We're actually calling here. Just got back from the game. My son Jackson, I took my two boys out there with my son Jackson. Is 8, and it's his birthday. Nice. But we are calling. We've had tickets for a while, but I got to say, it was incredible, and they had a great time, and we really never felt out of the game until after the seventh inning, and they were into it. The crowd was into it. I think we caught a little bit of people trying to do the wave and everything, so we had a really great time. But, yeah, we just wanted to call and say we're having a hell of a good time and enjoying this roller coaster for the Royals, and we hope it keeps going for a while. And Jackson here stayed awake so he could say one thing real quick. Can you say it, Jackson?
Go Royals.
Go Royals.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Jackson. Appreciate
Thank you.
Appreciate you listening, buddy. Man, 8th birthday. Oh, boy. That's right in the wheelhouse of when you really start falling in love with the game of baseball. And to think, as
That's
an 8-year-old,
right.
you have Bobby Witt Jr. on your favorite team? Oh, my gosh. You're a lucky
Absolutely.
Young man, I'll tell you what. Well, I
Thank
appreciate you,
you
calling. Thank you very much, John. Phone line open up for you, 913-586-7610. I mean, imagine if you're around my age, you know, if you're 30s, 40s, okay, some of you remember, you know, you had George, you know, he was still winning a batting title in my life, but he wasn't, you know, 79, 1980 George Brett. It was... I mean, he was still a legend, but, you know, 87, 88, 89, he's good. Yeah, he's winning batting titles, sure, but to be an 8-year-old and have Bobby Witt Jr. commit, you know, for the next at least 7 years to your favorite team, boy, I mean, right, I'm not alone on that. You guys understand what I'm saying. Could you imagine as a Royals fan growing up to where so many of us, it was, you know, well, he's gone. You know, Haas is going to leave. I love Mike Moustakas, but he's leaving. Carlos Beltran is going to leave. Damon, they're gone. Greinke's going to leave. Everybody's. But now Jackson's going to be driving when Bobby has a decision to make of whether or not to stick it out in Kansas City. That's pretty neat. 913-586-7610. Let's run through a few of these text messages real quick. From the 920, Vern, front row Amy in Milwaukee keeps score every game. Yeah. What do you know about front row Amy in Milwaukee? I was there when she started going to games. I was helping out the postgame show in Milwaukee when they first identified front row Amy, and she used to call in. Well, that's an interesting pull. Text line, where are you calling from? Katie in North Carolina writes in, Vern, I'm pulling for the boys to be in the postseason this year, and to do that, they need to get a comeback win from way behind. Sounds like even Matt Quatrero thought they had a chance to do that tonight. Maybe the boys in blue didn't check off the last line in my checklist just yet, but they are definitely maintaining through May with at least one win against the defending World Series champs. Yeah, they'll look to make it two tomorrow, 1:10 for the first pitch. As far as a big comeback, I know they've put together some comeback victories this season. Six, as a matter of fact. I don't off the top of my head know the largest comeback. It certainly wasn't 7-0 like we saw them facing tonight in the fourth inning. I'll try and check that if I can, but I appreciate you listening as always, Katie. Derek in Midtown, he writes in, Vern, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been to all but four games this season. Amazing crowd tonight. Normally four runs will win a lot of games for us. Only downside for me was watching Hunter Renfro in right field with zero hustle. Tough game result, but go Royals nonetheless, signed Derek in Midtown. Yeah, I can understand how it can look like that. I certainly wouldn't go along with that. I wouldn't say that he was lacking hustle. I'll talk tomorrow to some coaches. Maybe I'm wrong in saying that, but it looked to me as if you're, being maybe overly cautious with how the ball's going to carry him in the corner out there in right field. And Derek, you're right. Four runs is normally enough to win for the boys in blue as they are now on the season 14-5 when they score four or more runs. Appreciate you listening. Ray writes in, Vern, no panic here, but I do have a question. How long do you give position players before you meddle with your lineup? Before you can't ignore what Waters and Nick Lofton are doing down in AAA? What's the balance between minor improvement and lineup consistency? I don't know how to answer the balance. I can say this. The Drew Waters, Nick Lofton, the numbers that they're putting up in AAA. For those unaware, Drew Waters today went 2-for-6. He's now hitting .322 with an OPS of .941. Nick Lofton hitting .314 down there with an OPS of .728. I'll say this. AAA stats are not a great sign of what they're going to do at the big league level. To me, what you've done at the big league level is the best reflection of what you're going to do at the big league level. Drew Waters, I would say that conversation gets real as far as him taking a roster spot of someone. I would say that conversation gets real at the end of May. And as far as the position players, Renfro and Melendez are still, in my opinion, benefiting the team. MJ is one of the three best defensive left fielders in the American League statistically right now, and his arm ranks number one. Hunter Renfro, top five. Arm ranks top three in the American League. So no, they're not doing a lot offensively. MJ 0-for-2 tonight. Hunter Renfro 1-for-4 with a two-run single in the fifth inning to put the boys on the board. Nelson Velasquez 1-for-4 with a one-out double in that two-run fifth inning. Now, Velasquez doesn't have that defensive prowess that Melendez and Renfro have. Doesn't have the base-running ability of MJ Melendez. So to me, Nelson Velasquez is the one that needs to pick it up in the next few weeks. I mean, MJ does as well. But I'm not seeing anything just yet from Drew Waters that, if I'm Nelson Velasquez, if I'm MJ Melendez, I'm overly concerned. Again, the reason why Velasquez opened up the season on the opening day roster is because of what he did at the big league level last year. He didn't have a great spring. But spring training, as you know, that's not big league baseball. That doesn't carry over. AAA, it's AAA. It doesn't have any carryover to the big leagues. What are you doing against the best of the best? Nelson Velasquez was pounding it last year. Not so much of late. Now he roped that double, 105 miles per hour off of the bat, an 8-pitch battle with Dane Dunning. So a nice step from Nelson Velasquez. But again, to me, these guys get at least another 2-3 weeks before you start sending guys to Omaha and replacing them with minor leaguers that are yet to appear in the show in 2024. Appreciate you listening. Thanks, Ray. From the 816, Vern, first game this season. Bought tickets just a few weeks ago. Took my mom. We had a blast. Win or lose, we love the Royals. And Star Wars night was cool as well. We'll be back. From the 785, our friend Lori in Austin. Vern, I just got off work, listened to part of the last inning, and, well, sometimes you just have a stinker. But Vern, I have faith the boys will respond and adjust and come back great for the rest of the homestand. Thanks, Lori. One more with the Rangers and then the Milwaukee Brewers. The first place Milwaukee Brewers come to town for three. Royals haven't announced the pitching plans just yet for the Milwaukee series, but you can venture to guess it's going to be Reagans, Lugo, and Brady Singer going opposite Brew City. Few more from the text line. Let's go Dan and KCK is ready for the boys to take 2 of 3 against the defending champs. Rally Mantis wants to send everybody down. Who? MJ, Selby, Sauer. Wants to call up Prado and whoever else can pitch. Okay. Well, I think you'll get your wish as far as Colin Selby. I think that'll be the roster move for Daniel Lynch. MJ's not going anywhere, as I just addressed, and Matt Sauer cannot be sent down or else you lose him and he goes back to the New York Yankees. Thanks for listening, Rally Mantis. And one more from the text line, this from the 515. Hey, Vern, things got pretty sour quick tonight. Somebody already made that joke. Hey, how about Michael Garcia? 2 for 5 tonight, one of two Royals with multi-hits. Garcia, since Cody Tapp debuted his motivational ballad, Michael, Garcia's appeared in 15 games. He has 8 multi-hit games, and he's hitting .333 in those 15 games. He was, what, under the Mendoza line when Cody opened up the microphone to sing that gem? The only other Royal with multiple hits tonight was Michael Massey. Had a 3-hit game, his first 3-hit game of the season. He extends his hitting streak to tie his career high. A 7-game hitting streak right now for the Royals' number 5 hitter. Massey has an extra base hit in 4 straight games, and now, don't look now, but Massey's hitting .295 with an OPS north of 800. That's not too shabby. And that's all we're asking of Daniel Lynch tomorrow. No need you to put on the cape. I'm not looking for 5 innings, 6 innings. Give me 3-4 innings and a chance to win. That's all I'm asking for. You're going to have a fresh James MacArthur. You know, John Schreiber is always ready to throw. I think he's ready to throw right now when the game doesn't start for another 15 hours. So you'll have Schreiber, you'll have James MacArthur, you'll have plenty of, you know, Chris Stratton's going to be good to go. Nick Anderson's going to be good to go. Daniel Lynch, man, I root for a lot of these guys, and Daniel Lynch is certainly one of them. You know how high I've been on the lefty for years. I like the challenge that the organization gave him going into the offseason. I like that he had to earn it in spring training. I like that he pitched well in spring and still fell short of grabbing one of those rotation spots. No, I know the numbers in Omaha have not been good for Daniel. But I wonder how much of that has to do with Daniel doesn't view himself as a AAA pitcher. I'm not saying that's the best mindset, but to me, Daniel Lynch judges himself by what he does in the big leagues. So tomorrow afternoon, as he squares off with John Gray, a 1:10 first pitch, I'm on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon. That's what I want to see from Daniel Lynch. I don't care what he did in Omaha, just like I'm saying about Drew Waters and Nick Lofton. I don't care about their AAA numbers. What do you do in the show? Daniel Lynch can write his own story, and it starts tomorrow afternoon. Whatever you've thought about him in the past, it's the past. He writes the story beginning at 1:10 tomorrow right here on 610 Sports Radio. All right, so that's going to do it for us. I'm back at it with the On Deck Show tomorrow at 12 noon. Let me thank JT Noah. Back-to-back nights. And now he's going to go drive across the state and help. I don't know if it's the woman he loved. I mean, yeah, you know, he's going to go help her move at 10:30 at night. JT Noah, you are a good man. Great job tonight. Royals lose in a big way. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow.